The Trend Reporter is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hi, I'm journalist and beauty obsessive Maura Schiavocampo. Today on The Trend Reporter, your top skincare questions answered. Our MVP expert guests with their top tips for clear skin.
I like argan oil. It's one of my favorites for the face and hair.
What to avoid.
This is so bad. I see this in so many DIY recipes.
And the one product they can't live without.
Every time I wear this, people are like, did you get a facial?
We're bringing you everything you need to know about the skincare trends worth knowing. Hey there, trendsetters. So if you're a regular listener, then you know I'm really big on feedback, hearing from you guys about what you're into and what you'd like to know more about. And this year, one thing became crystal clear. Skincare is queen. We are all looking for practical information that actually works, the real secrets to beautiful, glowing, even skin. And I think we can often find ourselves facing information overload. There's just so much out there. So I'm putting all of the best information together for you in one place, right here. Celebrity dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bow is hands down one of my favorite guests because she really knows her stuff. I'm a patient. I can tell you that following her advice has given me my most beautiful skin ever. In fact, she taught me the single best skincare secret, period.
I've always had naturally beautiful skin. Now, I know how annoying it is to say that out loud. I have plenty of problems. I got plenty of flaws. I got 99 problems, but skin ain't one. So that's been my genetic gift. I get that from my mom. Fast forward to about 2 years ago, and my skin has become a total and complete shit show. Okay. So I have all these breakouts all over my jawline. I feel like it's lost its radiance. So it's just kind of dull. I start attacking individual bumps, like squeezing them and picking at them, and then they turn into dark spots and scars. So I have this mix of like these new fresh pimples and these old ones and scabs, and it was just a disaster. And so I reached out to you, Whitney, and I texted you photos of my skincare routine, of the products that I was using so that we could discuss it when I came to your office. I have the photos in front of me. I'm going to describe what's in them. So my morning routine was, I'm not going to name brands, an oil-free acne wash. So this was a foaming scrub with salicylic acid. Then I would use Tuxe medicated, witch hazel? Yeah, witch hazel pads as an astringent, like to clean up any extra dirt. Then I have this vitamin C serum that I would rub all over. Then an oil-free moisturizer with sunscreen, and then Differin gel on top of that. Now, Differin used to be prescription, but now it's over-the-counter. And then at night, I was using the oil-free acne wash again, that foaming salicylic acid scrub, the Tuxe medicated wipes again, the Retin-A, which you had prescribed to me prior, Creme de la Mer, which was a gift, a very lovely gift because it's a really great expensive product, and this under-eye cream. So that's what I was using in a day. I sent you those pictures. I came to see you, and you said what?
I said, you are throwing the kitchen sink at your skin.
I think you said, why the hell are you using Tuxe pads on your face? I think that was the first part.
I think I said, you're creating your own problems, my dear. Right. I said, your skin condition is very self-induced, and I think we can nip this in the butt pretty quickly.
So please now tell people what your skincare recommendation was.
So the recommendation is basically to dial down, to simplify the routine, be more gentle with your skin, and use really ingredients that really work and avoid all the other ingredients. You are basically damaging your skincare barrier. And when you damage the barrier, that's when you actually do more harm than good.
So then what is your recommendation? Because you do have a four-step process that you recommend.
Super simple, super simple. So in the morning, you can either skip cleansing or you can cleanse. Either one is fine. You just use a gentle cleanser, one that doesn't lather, less bubbles is better. Pat dry, vitamin C serum, followed by a sunscreen / moisturizer. That is your morning. That is all you need in the morning. Very simple. In the evening, you want to cleanse again. So here, if you're wearing heavy makeup, you can use like a double cleanse. You can use an oil-based cleanser followed by a water-based cleanser. You know, everyone's cleansing routine is a little bit different. But again, you just don't want the foaming cleansers. You don't want those bubbly cleansers. Then you want to pat dry. And now at night, you want to alternate between push days and recovery days. So your push days, the two ingredients that I love for push days, days that you're really challenging your skin, the same way when, you know, an athlete does like days of really intense exercise. So think about your push days as your days of the intense, you know, exercise for your skin. Push days should be a retinoid, which is either a prescription strength, you know, retinoid that you're getting from your dermatologist, Retin-A, tretinoin, or it can be a retinol in an over-the-counter product that you're buying, you know, online or in the store. So retinoids are amazing. The other push day ingredient is going to be some kind of a chemical exfoliant. So that's going to be either glycolic acid, lactic acid, sugar enzymes, fruit enzymes that are going to dissolve away in a very gentle way the uppermost layers of the dead skin cells. You want to alternate those push days with recovery days, or else your skin barrier is going to be unhealthy. And your skin is going to start acting in weird, funky ways the way that yours was.
Right.
So on your recovery, you have to build in recovery days. Recovery days are when you're using moisturizers that contain ingredients like ceramides, glycerin, hyaluronic acid. You can use a mask, you know, any kind of a hydrating sheet mask. You can use hyaluronic acid drops. You know, there are some great products out there that just have hyaluronic acid in them. It's in a dropper. They're called like boost concentrates or hydration serums. Those are wonderful for your recovery days.
Okay, so I'd like to play a game of always, sometimes, never. I'm going to say the name, the category of a product, and you tell me if we should be using it always, sometimes, or never, okay?
Okay.
Lemon juice.
Oh, never.
Never.
Can I say why?
Please tell me why. You're killing me, but tell me why.
This is so bad. I see this in so many DIY recipes. Like, I just put a splash of lemon juice. It's going to whiten and brighten your skin. Oh, my goodness. It does the opposite. You want dark stains on your skin? Use lemon juice. It's so acidic, it actually burns the skin. And so what happens is that the skin tries to heal itself by creating pigment. It's called post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation. You will get darkening.
Loofah.
Loofah is a never. So loofah is an example of a manual or physical exfoliation. It's in the same category as those scrubs that you used to love.
Masks.
So a mask is an amazing thing to do on a day that you're recovering. So if you're using an active ingredient like a retinoid or an alpha hydroxy acid, we talked about those are the active ingredients. Those are amazing ingredients. They're workhorses. They transform the skin. They keep your skin young and healthy. You gotta build in recovery days. And on your recovery day, one of the best things you can do to repair that barrier and recover is to use a hydrating mask, like one of those sheet masks that just feels calming and soothing. You want to look for ingredients like hyaluronic acid, ceramides, glycerin. Those are beautiful, hydrating, soothing ingredients that are going to really restore and repair that skin barrier.
Hyaluronic acid.
It can be a sometimes or an always. Hyaluronic acid is never going to hurt you. Okay. The more, the better.
Okay. Always, sometimes, never. Salicylic acid products.
So salicylic acid is a sometimes because it's an exfoliating ingredient. It's one of the chemical exfoliants. So it's, I always say once or twice a week to exfoliate your skin.
Okay, this next one shocked the shit out of me. Always, sometimes, never. Steam.
Steam is a never.
Do you know I would open my dishwasher mid-cycle just so that steam could come out and I'd stick my head in there?
Oh my gosh.
Just like like in the middle of the night, like a little skincare boost I thought I was giving myself.
I love how there are these pervasive myths out there that like your pores are like doors that when you steam them, they like open.
Exactly.
And then when you put cold water on them, they somehow shut. Well, your pores actually don't work that way. So what steam does is it actually swells your skin And it can actually be, it can trap a lot of badness in your skin. So it swells your skin in a way that's sometimes unhealthy.
Another practice that's become really popular is double cleansing. Now, this is actually an ancient beauty secret from Asia. Reportedly, it's how geishas cleaned off all of that thick white makeup that they wore. But doing it the wrong way can lead to breakouts and it can actually make your skin worse. I spoke to dermatologist Dr. Michelle Henry on how to do it the right way. So what is double cleansing?
So double cleansing is, it's a little bit of chemistry. It's the understanding that an oil helps dissolve an oil. So like dissolves like. And so what we love about our makeup wipes is that it kind of manually gets our makeup off so that our normal cleanser can work appropriately. That's the exact same thing that an oil cleanser is doing. So you're putting on an oil cleanser, it's dissolving that makeup, that oil, that dirt and debris, and then you're using a standard cleanser to wash it all away. So we know that if we use a standard cleanser immediately, it doesn't usually work because it really can't break down that oil. A really important fact is to make sure you're using an oil cleanser and not just a pure oil. So a lot of my patients will come in and they're breaking out because they're oil cleansing, but they're using a pure oil, not an oil cleanser. And an oil cleanser contains emulsifiers. So emulsifiers allow that oil and water to mix so you can actually wash it off appropriately. But if you're just using a pure oil, you're not going to get that effect. And you may even break out if it's the wrong kind of oil.
A lot of people think that kind of the natural approach is to take some olive oil or coconut oil and rub it in their hands, rub it all over their face, and then use some kind of cloth to wipe it off and then to wash it off. But to me, I was a little scared because I already have oily skin and I'm like, I'm going to put oil on oil. But, you know, I trust the makeup gods, I trust the beauty gods. So if somebody tells me do this and it'll work, I'm going to do it. Yeah. So let's then break down the appropriate steps from the expert. So yeah. What is the first step? How do you do the first cleanse correctly?
So the first step is to use whichever oil cleanser you're using. Again, I'm a fan of the oil cleanser because there are some oils that are okay and not likely to clog the pores, but oil cleansers are a safe bet. So you apply it to your face and you just gently massage it in. A lot of people love it because you're just kind of smearing your makeup and it feels really good to just watch it all melt away. But you just make sure you massage that into your skin, making sure that you're really covering the entire face. And then you use your standard cleanser. And again, it's that emulsifier there that allows that oil to interact with that water so that you can wash it off fully and your skin feels fresh and refreshed and you have effectively removed your makeup so that you don't have any residue or debris left over. So that is the ideal approach.
But when you say an oil cleanser, how do you know if something is an oil cleanser?
Well, the good thing now is that the market is flooded with them. So there are lots of oil cleansers. They typically list oil cleansers, or they'll call themselves like a pre-cleanse. So there are certain brands that will call themselves a pre-cleanse. And if you look at the ingredients, typically a pre-cleanse will have oils and other ingredients that will help to dissolve that oil. So they're usually kind of liquid and they feel oily, or they're a balm. So sometimes they're made like a balm or a butter that contains waxes and oils that help to kind of break down that oil, dirt, and debris that allows you to cleanse effectively following that.
I just ordered a balm. I just ordered a balm from Drunk Elephant, which I'm like obsessed with that brand. Please tell me that it's good for your skin.
We share that obsession. I love Drunk Elephant. I love their whole clean clinical concept. They've done a fantastic job. So I'm a huge fan.
Okay, great. That's such a relief. Because the worst thing for me is when I love a product and then I speak to the expert and they're like, no, it's going to make your hair fall out. It's going to make your skin break out. And I'm like, no, but I love it. Okay, great. So I just ordered a Drunk Elephant balm. So I will try that. So you put on the oil cleanser.
Yes.
But then how do you get it off? So now your makeup is all muddy and smeared all over your face. Do you use a cloth?
Well, you can use a cloth, but the nice thing about it is that it has a nice, when you use an oil cleanser, it doesn't just feel like an oil. You know, some of them even have foaming quality. So it's not going to feel like using a pure oil on your face. So it's going to adhere to that oil. And then you use your standard cleanser. You can use a cloth if you like, but you don't necessarily have to. You can foam your cleanser. So I love using a foaming cleanser after an oil cleanse. Just kind of the weightiness of the foam feels good to help wash off that cleanser. If you're really sensitive, you're not going to want to use a foam cleanser because sometimes they can be more drying. You'll just use a hydrating cleanser. But you don't always have to wipe them off. You can literally go in right with your cleanser right afterwards.
So you can muddy up your face with the oil and then go right in with the water-based cleanser.
Absolutely can.
Yeah. And then wash everything off and it'll be just one big muddy clean face.
Exactly. It's that emulsifier ingredient that allows it to interact with the hydrating or your water-based cleanser and work together. Now it depends, you know, there are many variations on the market. If you have something that feels a little bit oilier, it might feel better to you to wipe it off first, but you don't necessarily have to. So when I use an oil cleanser, I use it and right after I use my cleanser and then I dry.
Now, what if you want to use an oil? Because a lot of people are really attracted to the idea of using a natural organic product. You know, if you use first pressed olive oil, you know that's just olives. Yeah. If it's shea butter, you know it's just shea butter. So can you just use an oil?
You can, but you have to be a very smart oil consumer. So we grade oils based on how likely they are to clog the pores.
So I'd love to play a game of high, medium, or low, which is, what is the likelihood that this particular oil is going to make your skin break out? So I'll give you an oil, and you tell me if it's high, medium, or low.
A challenge.
Okay. So let's start with everybody's favorite, which is supposed to cure everything in your life, coconut oil.
So that is high. But I'm still not completely opposed to coconut oil because on the body, it's good. It's slightly antibacterial. So for kids with eczema, I really like coconut oil. But for all of us looking for it for beauty purposes, can clog the pores on the face.
Okay. Olive oil.
High. So higher. High. Yeah. Okay. Not higher than coconut oil, but higher. Medium to high.
Okay. Argan oil.
Argan oil is going to be lower. So that's a safer one to use on the face.
All right. Avocado oil.
Avocado oil, I will put it at a medium to low.
Okay. Grapeseed oil.
It's going to be a lower version. That's why we see a lot of grapeseed oil in products.
Shea oil or shea butter?
Shea oil and shea butter, I'm going to put it at a medium. You know, we do see that it can clog the pores in some. Not super high, but I put it at a medium.
See, I always feel connected to the ancestors when I use shea products.
That's why my heart, I can't bash shea butter. It's too,
And one that you just mentioned, rosehip oil.
Yeah, so lower. So rosehip oil, we see in a lot of natural acne remedies. And so for my naturalistas who really don't want to use anything chemical, rosehip oil is one of the better oils.
What about baby oil?
Baby oil, I'm not a fan of baby oil for many reasons. Even if it's not super comedogenic, it's just... I don't find that it adds much moisture. One thing that I am a fan of is baby oil gel, which is significantly more occlusive. So for those who are super dry, I'll have them mix a little baby oil gel with their standard cream moisturizer on their body, not on the face, to really pack in that moisture. But not a huge fan of baby oil personally.
Of all the oils that we just mentioned, which one is your favorite? What do you recommend?
For the face and hair, I like argan oil. It's one of my favorites for the face and hair. Grapeseed oil is also lighter, so that's another good one. But argan oil is one of my favorites.
Under eyes can be a problem area for a lot of people. Dr. Bo shared her solutions for those fine lines, dark circles, and puffiness.
Well, the under eye area is a really big common problem area, which I can totally relate to because the wrinkles, like the fine lines under my eyes, they drive me insane to the point that, well, first of all, they are what brought me to you, Whitney, to begin with. Like the first thing that I said when I came to your office is like, can you please help me with these fine lines?
And I remember.
It's even gotten, you know, it affects the way that I smile because I'm self-conscious about it. So I know when I smile really big, it'll make the lines show up. And if I do like a more demure smile or if I don't smile at all, like if I do my Kanye West impression, then they're not there. Everything is like really smooth. So it's definitely something that people want to address. So let's just dive right in. So what are your recommendations, the most effective treatments for under eye wrinkles?
Okay, so this is definitely one of the most common things that I see in the office. So first of all, just to get back to what's causing those fine lines. So if you imagine basically like almost like a donut-shaped muscle around each eye, it's called the orbicularis oculi, and it acts like a purse string. So every time you smile, every time you squint, it's basically squeezing shut. And that muscle, that donut-shaped muscle or purse string muscle, imagine like a purse squeezing shut. as it squeezes shut, it's tethered to the overlying skin. So it pulls that skin with it. And that repetitive movement, you're basically pulling on that skin. And that constant pulling over time is the reason why the area around the eyes is one of the first to age. So the way we start with that is we start by injecting a little bit of Botox or Dysport. So that's basically just the molecule that relaxes that donut muscle. And I inject tiny, tiny little micro droplets in multiple locations around the outside of the eye, because I don't want to freeze the smile. I don't want to distort the smile. Smiling is beautiful. You want to smile, and you want to have it be very, very, very gradual. So that's step one, is to do a little bit of just relaxation of that muscle without freezing it. So that's number one. Number two is hyaluronic acid injections. So I love either Bellotero or Restylane are my two favorite hyaluronic acid fillers for the tear trough area. We call that the tear trough. It's basically the area right underneath the eye. It's on the bone. And when you, and you don't want to overfill it, you don't want to look like you have an allergy or puffy eyes. But if you put just tiny little micro droplets of filler there, it can work wonders for that sort of fine line wrinkle. It's almost like hydrating.
Whitney, what's your pick for a solution for dark circles?
So the easiest thing is when it's created by a shadow, right? So the way that I test for that is I have people keep their chin down and look up. And if it accentuates that sort of shadow, if I can actually see that it's actually a separation between the fat pad under the eye and the fat pad in the cheek, then I'm like, yes, this I can fix with filler, right? That's something we can actually fix. Number one, I basically sort of have people look up. And then I also stretch out the skin a little bit underneath the eye. I just gently do that to see, is there a stain? Because if there's a stain, meaning there's actually like melanin or iron, hemosiderin deposits in the skin, that's a lot harder to brighten. So that's not a quick fix with filler, right? So that can be one of two things. That can be genetic. You know, there's certain ethnicities that are much more prone to have, especially skin of color, to having just dark stains under the eyes. But as you're experiencing, you know, allergies, sinus issues, eczema, like if there's some way that even subconsciously you're sort of rubbing the area, every time you rub, you're traumatizing the area and your skin responds by trying to protect itself. And part of that protection is pumping out pigment. So the more you rub, the darker the area gets. And the technical term for that is post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation. So if somebody is sort of rubbing, if their eyes are itchy, if they have like an allergy or if they have eczema, you know, it's worth trying like an Allegra every day or a Claritin, like a non-sedating antihistamine. And you also want to start exploring what products they're using in the area. And it could be something like your shampoo, which is, people don't even think about that when it comes to their eyes. So you really have to see what's going on with the eyes. But if it's like a stain, you know, and you're controlling for the irritation, you go through the skincare products, they're not using anything that could be making the irritation worse. Then you can think about like lightening and brightening ingredients in that area. So if you're not irritated, if you're not inflamed, if you don't have eczema, then things like vitamin C, retinol, alpha hydroxy acids, glycolic acid, niacinamide, those are ingredients that can very much lighten the skin around the eyes, but less is more. I almost never put it directly around the eye. I recommend people use it as a serum on their face. And just microscopic particles will get to the under eye area and help to gradually lighten it over time. Actually, there's a great new sort of ingredient that I really like for just hydrating around the eyes. It's called squalane. And it's not really, it feels very greasy and heavy when I put it on. You wouldn't want to wear it like under makeup in the morning per se. Squalane oil, but it is not really comedogenic, meaning I don't find that people get clogged pores.
What are your fixes for puffiness and under eye bags?
Right. So the first thing I need to find out, is it truly like an under eye bag herniation, or is there something called festoons or malar edema? not to get too technical, but basically under eye bags are like right under the eye, whereas some people get pockets of fluid on their upper outer cheek. That is a lot more tricky to treat. That's like a whole other conversation. But if you have just under eye bags, then if you have the budget for it, Sculptra can just be completely transformative. So many people think that they need to get surgery for it, and you absolutely don't. You can do a couple of injections with a filler called Sculptra that basically stimulates your own collagen.
I thought Sculptra was for your butt.
Oh, yeah, you can use Sculptra in your butt too, but I do a ton of Sculptra in the face. I actually do it for like the chest area too and other areas where it's crepey texture, but for the face, my favorite place to use Sculptra is to help with under eye bags. It's amazing. It can literally take like 10 years off of your face. And it just compared to like having surgery there, you know, it's so much less invasive. There's so much less downtime. So that's one of my favorite things to treat in that area. But you have to be patient because each time I do Sculptra, it takes 3 months for the Sculptra to develop. It's because it's actually telling your own body to make more collagen in that area.
Okay. But how is that counteracting the bags?
So great question. So what you're seeing with the bag is you're basically seeing what's called a fat pad herniation, meaning there's a fat pad under your eye. So what the Sculptra does is it basically lifts everything back up. So it creates a scaffold. It's triggering collagen production in the deep, deep layers of the dermis and the top of the subcutaneous fat. And it's almost like it's bringing back all of that collagen, all of that elasticity that you've lost over the years, that's just going to suck all that fat back in. And it's going to make that demarcation between the two fat pads less obvious because it sort of fills it all in with a very sort of tight, healthy looking skin. Honestly, it would take like 9 months to see a really dramatic result. But once you get that, the maintenance is really easy. You just come back once a year for maintenance.
Well, if there's anything that I've learned from you, Whitney, is that, you know, skincare is something that you have to take care of day in and day out. You really have to pay attention. You have to plan ahead, but that the effects will last you for years. And if you're taking care of your skin, it's going to be glowing and beautiful and youthful.
And the earlier you start, the better. So like if I could speak to everybody between the age of 20 and 40 and catch them before the problems, oh my gosh, they would save so much money in my office. Like they wouldn't even have to come to my office if they started early with sun protection and using the right products early and maybe doing a little tiny prophylactic procedure here and there. But oh man, you know, it's when people come and they're like, Dr. Bo, I'm so proud of myself. I waited until it was really bad. And I'm like, oh,
you don't want to chase that problem. You want to get ahead of that problem.
All right, let's talk some products. Kat Quinn from Refinery29 came up with a genius category. She calls it loungewear for your face. It's kind of like makeup, but a little more laid back.
Okay, loungewear for your face. What does that mean?
Okay, so loungewear makeup is a concept that I came up with actually when I was home practicing self-distancing to stop the spread of COVID-19. And I just needed something that I could put on that didn't take any effort. I was already feeling emotionally overwhelmed, mentally overwhelmed. There was so much going on. And I knew that makeup made me feel good and ready to take on the day. But I needed like the sweatpants of makeup, right? So I needed, you know, mascara that's like as easy to slip on as a pair of Uggs, or concealer that's covers everything but is soft and breathable, kind of like the yoga pants that I love to wear. So I set out on this journey to find the loungewear makeup that I love and the products that my team loves. And we put together a list of 14 makeup products that are really just about comfort, ease, little to no exertion required, but make you feel really good even when you're just sitting around in your house working from home.
You call this the yoga pants of makeup. CC cream. What is CC cream?
I cannot tell you how much I love this CC cream. And when we posted about this, we had like all these people in the comments being like, if you know, you know, it's this it cosmetics CC cream. There's like an online cult around this CC cream. And if you're listening to this right now and you love this CC cream, please tell me, because I love meeting people who are also in this camp with me. But this CC cream is really just, it's called a CC cream. That's a range of products that stand for color correcting cream. It's basically like a souped up tinted moisturizer that also treats your skin as you're wearing it. So this one has sunscreen and antioxidants in it. And even just like the smell of it is so gorgeous. And you put it on, and I'm telling you, you need like the smallest pea size amount, and it covers your whole face. Every time I wear this, people are like, did you get a facial? What are you using on your face? I'm like, oh no, it's all this CC cream. I cannot tell you how much I love this stuff. And this is what I wear every day. Even if I don't wear anything else, I'll wear this. And I love that it has sunscreen in it too. A lot of people think that if you're inside, you don't need to wear sunscreen, and that's false. You actually can still get sun exposure through the window. So this is like a really great, easy step to remind me to put on sunscreen, and it also just makes me feel great.
Now, can you wear it under products? Could you do it under foundation, under blush?
You will not need foundation. It is so full coverage.
Okay, so it takes the place of foundation, but then would you do like blush over it or a little highlighter, or is it it?
Yeah. I use this, and then sometimes if I am really hungover and I have dark circles, I'll dab a little bit of concealer on, or if I have a big honking zit, I'll put a little bit of concealer over the zit. It won't necessarily cover that, but I put this on and then some blush and a little bit of highlighter, and I'm good to go. And there's a matte formula and a glow formula. Mm. I like the glow because I like to look very glowy, but the matte formula is also really great if you want more of a no shine, oil-free look. If you are really oily, I would recommend that one.
When it comes to skincare and makeup, clean beauty is super important right now. We want to make sure our products are good for us and sustainable. Jenna Rosenstein from Harper's Bazaar wrote The Ultimate Guide to Clean Beauty, and here's her advice on finding the best products.
So what are your recommendations for retailers that have already done the work for you and are only selling clean products, or brands that you really like?
For sure. So I would say step one is read the article that we wrote on bazaar.com.
Absolutely.
Because you'll be armed with the exact amount of knowledge. I've worked so hard to make sure that it wasn't that overwhelming, that it was really straightforward, that you could understand it. And it's a resource that you could always go back to as you're online shopping, as you're looking, like, I wonder if this is good for me. You could always refer back to it to get that information and that knowledge and the research of why you're doing this, because the why is the most important factor. So why am I choosing a paraben-free cleanser? Why am I choosing a cleaner oil? And so it starts there with the knowledge, but you don't have to become a scientist. You just have to get the base of the foundation of clean beauty. And from there, you can start to look at some of these retailers that I love. So because there is no standard for clean beauty in the United States, retailers and brands have taken it upon themselves to create a standard of what they consider clean. So two retailers I love are Credo Beauty and Follain. F-O-L-L-A-I-N and Credo, C-R-E-D-O. They're incredible. Follain is, I think, the strictest in terms of their standards. And that's like if you really, really want to be clean. And then Credo has a little bit more fun. Like they have more makeup. It's a little bit like, I would say their standards are a little bit less, but still very, very strict and way stricter than anything you'll find in the United States elsewhere. And then of course, Sephora has their clean at Sephora program. And I would say theirs is a little bit more lenient. It's not as strict as Credo or Follain, but they do have a set of ingredients that they will not certify as clean at Sephora. And so you can just click on that tab on the website and just shop from there. And there are so many options. And so that's a great place to start. Credo launched an in-house makeup brand called EXA, E-X-A, and it's the first truly inclusive line of clean foundation. So there's over 40 shades of an actual clean foundation. And it was so needed in this industry where for so many years, clean makeup has been kind of this like crunchy granola. Like the shades varied from like tan Gwyneth to fair Gwyneth. Like right. There was just nobody.
It's like
there
winter was Gwyneth and summer Gwyneth.
Exactly. There was nothing for women who had medium olive deep skin tones. And that was just incredibly unfair because we know that Black women are some of the biggest beauty consumers in the United States. And we know that they deeply care about the ingredients that they're putting on their body, because studies have shown that this is actually for Black women, they are most impacted by the chemicals and the ingredients that are in our beauty products. Hmm. And so,
do we know why?
It's because a lot of the hair care products, the harsh ingredients that are in there, and they're just the biggest beauty consumers. Like, Black women use more cosmetics and makeup than a lot of other groups in the United States. And for so long, traditional beauty brands were not speaking to them. And so Black women have taken it upon themselves. And a lot of the brands that we're seeing now come up in the clean beauty space are Black owned. And I think that's so incredible and so important to sort of take back health of their community.
Yeah.
And so I think that Credo, I'm so proud of them. Their in-house brand, Exa, with over 40 shades, is a major move in the space.
That's amazing. Yeah. And it's great to see these developments because, you know, I had tried like clean products in the past and they always just sucked. It was like a powder that did nothing, a blush that didn't even show up on my skin. They were just terrible. So the fact that now there are products that have evolved and are keeping up with the demand, which is really, I mean, we still want to look beautiful, right? We are willing to make certain sacrifices and swaps, but at the end of the day, like, I still want to feel like a bad bitch. So we got to make it work.
And the reason there is so much innovation happening in the space is because consumers are demanding it. I often say that we call it clean beauty now, but I think in 10 years, we're just going to call it beauty because we're not going to put up with the fact that we have these potentially harmful ingredients in our products anymore.
Jenna, where can people find your beauty guide, your clean beauty guide? Because you really did such an exhaustive job, so thorough, so much research. It's a great resource. Where can people find the guide?
Thank you. If you just go on Google and type like clean beauty bazaar or clean beauty guide, like we're right under Goop, I think, in Sephora. So
great.
I'd like make sure Google recognizes us as an authority.
And speaking of clean products, my friend Daphne Oz just launched a truly amazing clean skincare line, and walking the walk is really important to her. So she shared some of her favorite skincare practices with me. So I'd like to play a game of always, sometimes, never. This is really fun for me. This is always one of my favorite parts of any taping. I'm going to name a skincare practice and you tell me if this is an always, a sometimes, or a never for you.
Okay, I'm ready.
Double cleansing.
Sometimes.
Face masks, and not like COVID masks, but like masks.
I love that you have to clarify that now. Face masks. I mean, what's always, like 3 times a week? I would say I'm a 2 to 3 times a week face mask.
Okay. So that's a definitely. Sunscreen.
Okay. Sunscreen has become always, but only recently because I live in Florida. But I'm not like fanatical about it. I put it on once in the morning and that's when it goes on.
Sleeping with makeup on.
Never. Literally never. I've given myself styes. I've given like all the things that are bad that happen. Also, I have this face where like, it, you know, some people look beautiful and slept in makeup, not me. So never, never.
Exercising with makeup on.
What? No.
I'm guilty of that. I do that all the time.
Here's the thing. I was going to say that. And I will say that there were times when I would leave the studio and it would be the only time I could sneak a workout in. But I would at minimum cleanse my actual, just like my face. I might leave my eye makeup on, but I would cleanse my face because I just don't want to like open my pores to sweat and have it drink in the makeup on my face. So,
okay. So cosmetic injections.
Cosmetic injections. No. They mean like fillers and stuff. No. I feel like I'm ready to like explore this world. You know, I look, the women who, as they age, I really idolize and think have done it so gracefully, aren't the ones who like totally say to hell with it because that's just, it's, I appreciate and applaud it in them. And I recognize it myself that like, that wouldn't be me. But they walk that balance between, they've clearly taken great care of themselves throughout their lifetime, but they, when I'm done having babies, I'm getting these boobs done. I am getting my little like, you know, situation in order. Like I am doing it.
Are you not done?
I don't know. I'm not like closing up shop just yet. I'm at like capacity right now. I mean, life is really, really nuts right now with our oldest is 6 and we've got 4 kids, but it's just like, I don't know. They get to that age. We're all, especially, you know, 2 where they're talking and they're funny and they're just sort of like little irrational adults in the house. And then I start to think, am I really done with all the little baby parts of it? You know, I don't know. I'm not signing up to anything, but I'm not getting my boobs done yet. That's all I'm saying.
I remember we had lunch once when you were heavily pregnant with your third.
Yes. I barely wedged into that booth. That was hilarious.
And I remember asking you, are you done? Do you think this is your last one? And most women at that stage in their pregnancy, even if they may go on to have other children at that stage, they would say like never again, because it's the miserable phase, right? And you said with this big bright smile on your face, I've always wanted five. And I was like, whoa, like she must really mean that.
It's so funny that you remember that, because I also feel like part of how this works for me is I go into like a total fugue state in those final months of pregnancy and first months of newbornhood. I always joked that I wanted seven. I just like love this idea of a huge, huge family. And then I probably said five to you because every time I have a child, that number comes down one.
But Daphne, you make the most delicious babies.
Aww. Ditto.
All right. I have three more always, sometimes, nevers. Jade face rollers, the little things.
So here's the deal. I own like three of them. And I actually just bought a Gua Sha tool to learn how to use that properly, because I believe in it. I first of all, it's just the ritual, right? Like whatever. I know tons of girlfriends who make time for it. They do it like while they're making their smoothie, or they do it while they're getting ready for, you know, they're lying in bed reading and they're doing the Gua Sha thing. And again, it's one of those things where like, I really believe in it. I want to do it. And I haven't found time to. So I'm going to put a sometimes label on there. And I'm like avidly watching YouTube tutorials to learn how to Gua Sha, because I think that that's really cool.
You should make one. Once you've nailed it, you should do your own tutorial.
Well, if I can do it, you can do it. So once I figure out like, how am I really going to make this work for me? Then I will absolutely do that.
Professional facials.
Okay. So here's the deal. People do facials at out and about, I think, because they don't realize that massages are so much better.
And the last one, this one is perfect for you. And I'm very curious to what your answer is going to be. Kitchen ingredients on your face. So things like lemon, honey, yogurt.
I love this. My first ever job when I was in high school actually was as a product tester for Elle Girl magazine back when they were in business. And I will never forget talking to the editor in chief about how much stories meant to me, like stories of the origin of products and the meaning of different ingredients, and like why you could buy into and trust the intelligence behind a certain practice. And the idea of food on skin means so much to me, because I think throughout time and across every culture, it's what women have always done. I'm goosebumps right now like a total idiot, because I remember the moment when I was like a teenager and someone told me that Cleopatra used to bathe in milk and honey. And I was like, geez, she is a goddess. But, you know, you think about like, you know, Indian women before their weddings have these beautiful rituals of like this chickpea flour and saffron and rose petal facial scrub that they will do every night for 30 nights to get their glowing skin for their wedding day. And, you know, Japanese rituals with the patera and the fermented rice. And like, I went down like a crazy YouTube rabbit hole and learned all about fermented rice hair wash, which is,
oh, we're talking about that in the clean hair episode.
Oh, I'm excited. I mean, can't wait to listen to it. So absolutely love food on hair, love food on face, love food in tummy.
If you want more information on any of the guests in this episode, check out my Instagram at marascompo.com. I'll include all that information on the post about this episode. Hey guys, thanks for listening. I want to know what trends you have questions about. So hit me up on Instagram. I'm at Mara S. Compo. You can also check out The Trend Reporter on YouTube, covering all of the newest trends, including tutorials on everything from food to beauty. That's youtube.com/Mara S. Compo. The Trend Reporter is a production of iHeartRadio. For more shows from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.